in my life, I have been blessed with a very special biological family. I've been blessed beyond compare by my family. And not just the family that I was born into, but the family that I was married into. But I'm very much aware that that's not the case for everyone. For some people, that the bond of family is not the steel cement that it needs to hold the individual members together to withstand the trials of life. For some people, there is division in their family. And in a lot of cases, we see this division results in a collapse of the family, or at least in a collapse of the relationship of its members. One of the wonderful blessings, the wonderful miracles that was created by God as His working through His plan was the creation of His church. We are a people, a congregation of not just friends, not just relations, not just members, but we are a family. Whenever I think that the reason why we see so much rift and division in families is because the individual members don't have their mind on the same goal. As individuals, we have our interests. And sometimes we're not able to put the interests of those who are part of the family above our own, or even equal to at times. If the materials of a house are constantly at war with each other and working against each other, that builds a house that just can't withstand. And it shouldn't be like that for God's house, God's church, His body. Blood is thick. It is. And the relationships that we have with the family that we've been born into can be thick, but it's not as thick. It's not as bonding as the blood of Jesus our Christ. I love our God. I love the church that He's made. And it's with these thoughts that I'd like to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I would like to offer everybody a good morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for braving the cold to come in. If you're a visitor with us this morning, we ask that you'll stay. If you're a visitor, I would like to meet you. But also, if you're a member that I haven't got a chance to meet, please meet with me so that I can get a chance to shake your hand and introduce myself to you. And if you're a visitor, just remember that the longer you stay here interacting with us, then you don't have to go outside for longer. So it's a blessing to see. I have a few Milwaukee family members here, Rose and Jan and Jess and Kaylee, and I'd like to thank you all for being here. Jess and Kaylee just recently got engaged, so I'm sure they are waiting for tons of marriage advice if you want to give it to them. And I would like to just thank all the men who have led so far this morning. Thank you to those that are on the table and to Mike. Thank you for that song service. I always have I love the song, Banner of the Cross. But it was always kind of a love-hate relationship because I led it one time and I pitched it way too high. And that is not a song that you want to do that to. My voice cracked worse than it did during puberty. And I sounded like I do right now. So. But we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1 this morning. Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to start reading in verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. If someone were trying to sell you something, they would have a price that they would believe that what they're trying to sell to you is worth, and they would ask you to pay that price for it. If someone were trying to sell you, let's say, a computer. I don't really know what computers go for these days, but let's say they try to sell it to you for $200. You would take that computer, you would look at it, you would examine it, you'd work it over and make sure that it's worth the price that's been given for it. If you look at it, it doesn't have any blemish, it looks good, then you'd say, yeah, that's worthy of that price. And if it didn't, if it was missing keys, or it had a big gash in the screen, or if it just didn't turn on, then you look at that and say, I don't think that's worth the $200 that you're telling me that it is. We see in this letter, in the beginning of it, that the brethren in Philippi were to look at the manner that they walked, in the manner that they conducted themselves. They were to investigate it, to work it over, to look at it and see if that manner was worthy of the measuring stick to which it's being compared. That measuring stick is the gospel of Christ. They were to look at the manner in which they were walking and compare it to the gospel of Christ. Is that not the same measuring stick that we can use today? Can we look at our lives, at our walk, the manner in which we conduct ourselves, and hold it up to the gospel of Christ and see, and what I am doing measure up to this? Now, if you were me, and I look at my life, and I measure it up to the gospel of Christ, I look at that and I say, no. Who can compare to this? Who can compare to the awesome story and revelation that is Jesus? Who can measure themselves up to that and say, yeah, I'm walking in a manner worthy of that? No one can do that. But I think about what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to start in verse 24 just for context. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They who heard it said, then who can be saved? But he said, the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. So yes, I can hold my life up and measure it to the gospel of Christ and look at it and say, I'm really not worthy of that. But through God, through Jesus, I'm able to. In 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 28, John said, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. This verse is telling us that when Jesus comes, he who bore the brunt of our sin and our wickedness and our iniquity, when he comes, we can look at him and we don't have to cower in fear. We don't have to be afraid, and that's a wonderful thing. When you know, like I know, who you have been in your life. Not only do we not have to look at him in fear, but we can have confidence in him. How is such a thing possible? Well, that's the completion of the gospel that we're comparing ourselves to. The gospel is that Jesus came and died for us to wash us free of those sins and those iniquities. And we can have confidence with him as long as we abide in him. As long as we practice the righteousness that we learn from him who is righteous. As long as we walk, as long as we seek to walk in a manner worthy of him and his gospel. It's still a hard thing to do on my own, though. And that's another reason why I love the church, the family, the fact that we don't have to do this on our own. God desires righteousness. He desires righteousness of me as an individual. He desires me to work on my own righteousness, but I am not just a person seeking to be righteous in a vacuum. I'm not on my own. I am a member of the living, breathing, thriving entity that is the kingdom of God. We are in this together. Fingers are important. Toes are important. Feet are important. Hands are important. All the members are important, but where they really get their value, when we really see how important they really are, is when they're part of the body, working in orchestra together. If we go back into our verse in Philippians 1, verse 27, so whether I come to you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One spirit, one mind. We also see this same thought in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 32, and I'm going to start reading in verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all the lands to which I have driven them in my anger, in my wrath, and in great indignation. And I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always, for their own good and for the good of the children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts, so that they will not turn away from me. I will rejoice over them to do them good, and will faithfully plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. For thus says the Lord, just as I brought all this great disaster on this people, so I am going to bring on them all the good that I am promising them. In looking at the people of Israel, the same promise, the same fulfillment is in us. We have been taken out of enemy lands. We have been taken out of the sin and the wickedness that has been holding us captive, and we've been brought together as one people, the people of God. And the amazing thing is, I love this thought that God, for his people, is rejoicing with all of his heart and all his soul to plant us together and to do good. Think about that. All the heart and soul of God. That's an amazing thing. But he desires for his people to have one heart and one way. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. One. It's just the reoccurring theme here. One. We are desired to be one and to have oneness. And that's hard because we are individuals. We have those desires, those interests, those things that make us unique as individuals. We have our different sports teams that we like. We have the different foods that we like. We have different parenting philosophies. We have our own opinion on whether or not it's cool to wear Hawaiian shirts to services. We all have our different opinions, and sometimes those things clash. But these things, these earthly things, these things of the world, I have to be honest with you, they really don't matter in the long run. And it's not these things, because of that fact, because of the fact that they don't matter, that they're not those things that we're called to be one over. The things that we're called to be won over is the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God, the one Father. We are called to be won over the spiritual things, the things that really matter. And it's hard sometimes, it's hard for me to not get mixed up what matters with what doesn't matter. It's easy for me at times to, instead of being in one, to stand firm in one spirit, it's easy for me to stand firm on one topic or one opinion or one grudge or one slight, to stand firm on that and not to stand firm in God, in his things, in his word. And in the end, that really just that causes disunity. That doesn't cause oneness. So we continue reading in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, ask these questions to yourself. Look at these questions. Even write them down if you need to and answer them for yourself. Do you find any encouragement in Christ? Do you find encouragement in what he has done for you and what he taught and who he is and the fact that the Son of God came to this earth and died for us and was resurrected for us? Do you get encouragement for that? Is there consolation in love? Do you find comfort in the fact that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Do you find comfort in that? And that was from Romans 8, verses 38 to 39. Is there any fellowship of the Spirit? I can't say that I know the exact meaning that Paul was getting across here, but in my mind, what stands out to me is the fact that we are the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is an amazing fact. That's beyond expression, that we are an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It has been given to each of us as a gift. But what's amazing to think about is, like we read in that Ephesians chapter, in Ephesians 4, that Spirit is still one. That Spirit isn't divided between us. That Spirit is shared between us, but it's still one. We have a oneness that we can't express. We have a oneness in the Holy Spirit, a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Do you find fellowship in that? I find the ultimate fellowship in that. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and compassion, and the answer for me is yes, 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 yes. Well, he continues, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in one spirit, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. That's a hard passage for me to read. It's hard to let go of needing to put my needs first, or to make sure that my needs are met. It's hard for me to make sure that Walker has food before I sit down and start shoveling food down my mouth. It's hard for me to worry about others first. It really is. I don't know if it is for you. But I want to. And I want us to. What is the one purpose? Paul says here, intent on one purpose. What purpose can we agree on is going to be our one purpose as the body of Christ? As the body of God? I have a suggestion. The greatest commandment, we're told, is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And to love others, to love your neighbor as yourself. What if we decided that out of our love, our ultimate love, that love for God that is all of our heart, soul, and mind, and our love for each other, what if we decided that we were going to glorify God in everything that we do? In everything, in our speech, in our actions, in the way that we interact with the world, and especially in the way that we interact with each other. What if we decided we're going to glorify God in all of that? And to sacrifice ourselves for each other, to place each other above ourselves. What kind of kingdom would that look like? I have absolutely no doubt about the strength, the ability, the power of the kingdom of God. No doubt. When the members are working together, when we're striving for the gospel together, I have no doubt about the power of God. I love how it's put in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. The kingdom is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in a field. And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. There is matched power in the kingdom of God and his body when we're all working as one. I'm not a big fan, I guess, of the opinion or the viewpoint that there's, you know, the world is all darkness and it's overtaking us and there's nothing that we can do about it, because that's, darkness has always been in this world, but the fact is light will always win. Light always illuminates the darkness. It's just, it's the difference between driving down on a county road and driving in the city. You know, you'll see a light here or there, individual lights that are doing their things individually, but they're, and they are holding the darkness back. But when you take these lights, like in a city, and you put them together, they shine and illuminate together, working as one. There's no darkness in that. Darkness can't even survive in that. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's an amazing thing to think about. Have the same attitude in yourselves. Have the same attitude of Christ. That's a hard task to look at, isn't it? Have the same attitude as God, who emptied himself and came to this earth and humbled himself to the point of death. What if we lived like that for each other? What if we emptied ourselves of, you know, like I said, we have all these opinions that conflict. What if we come together and just empty ourselves of those things and say that with one mind and one spirit, we're going to focus on the godly things? We can still talk about other things. It's not what I'm saying. But as a whole, as our body, our main focus needs to be glorifying God. And I really do believe that. And I really think that we can do that. I would like to leave you with one last thought this morning. If you want to turn over to John 17. John 17, we'll be starting in verse 20. Up to this point in the scripture, we have read a couple of prayers of Jesus. Jesus himself prayed that his glory would be restored. Prayed for his disciples, the ones that were walking with him, that they would be kept safe from the evil one. And now Jesus prays, I do not ask, starting in verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have had, which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. It is one of my favorite sections of scripture to hold on to, that the fact that Jesus prayed for us. And the thing that he prayed is that we would be perfected in unity. That we would be one as Jesus and the Father are one. If you can imagine that, and I can't. To be perfected in unity. And not only to just be perfected in unity just for the sake of it, but what does that do? It creates this unstoppable, illuminated beacon of light that shows to the world, so they can see that and they can know, yes, Jesus is real. So they can look at this and say, Jesus is real, and I know that he's calling for me, and they can become part of this perfect unity as well. So this kingdom, this living, thriving body of God, can just continue to swell and to grow and to give glory to our God. I invite us all this morning to just love each other, to be one in unity, to try as hard as we can to be one as Jesus and the Father were one. And that extends not to just this local congregation, but to all those that believe in Him and are baptized into His name. We are all part of a family. That's the great thing. Even if you don't have a family that you may be proud of from earthly standpoints, we are part of the greatest family on earth and beyond. If there's anybody here this morning who needs to be baptized, the invitation's open for you. We ask you to come and join us as part of this family. Please come forward, be baptized, while we stand and as we sing.